Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, as always, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, this week it is the New Orleans Saints on the schedule for the Packers. It's a noon Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field. And as we run down the New Orleans Saints here, their season 3-2, they've already had their bye week. Started out with two straight losses, didn't look good in doing so, losing to the Vikings and the Patriots, but since then ripped off three straight wins and looking awfully good and like a legitimate contender in a very crowded NFC South division. And when you look at this New Orleans Saints team, we all know who it starts with, and that's the future Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees.
Yeah, it does, Mike. And if you look at it, they're right back to where they always are offensively. Fourth right now in points per game, 29.0. Passing yards, fifth in the league. Total yards, seventh. The guy that it starts with is Drew Brees. And it was amazing to me, Mike, when you go back, and I don't always suggest just sitting there looking at the stat sheets. I think yesterday I was saying don't just look at the stat sheets. But now in his 17th season, when you look at Drew Brees' box score, basically has played, I think, all but, what, one or two games during his time. Yeah. With the Saints, just has had an amazing run there. Number of 5,000-yard passing seasons, number of Pro Bowls that he's made. I think he even played in this. I think he still plays in the Pro Bowl, so I think it's been like 11 now that he's played in.
Yeah, something like that.
Just an amazing run that he's had. And now, as bleak as it looked early on this season, you could start to see this team gaining momentum. Offensively, they have their running backs now, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. You look at the offensive line, the way they've built that over the years and what the form it's taken there. And then now the defense is even playing a little bit better as well. So certainly not a walk in the park by any means for the Packers this Sunday.
Yeah, you mentioned that that running back tandem, Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara. Kamara, the rookie draft pick out of Tennessee. Kind of a thunder and lightning type of combination in a lot of ways. Ingram being the power back, Kamara being the smaller, maybe speedier, shiftier type of running back. And both of these guys used very much in the passing game with Drew Brees as well as on the ground. I think the thing that stands out to me about where this this Saints offense is going this year, I remember watching that opening Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings, and you kept hearing John Gruden for ESPN say, Drew Brees hasn't worked with this new core of receivers long enough. It's going to take some time. And we're starting to see that come together now with this new group of receivers. And one thing I've noticed is that with this Saints offense, it seems the passing game is always predicated on yards after the catch. It's about Drew Brees getting his playmakers the ball in some space with some room to maneuver, to make some moves, and pick up those yards. I mean, he can throw the deep ball too, don't get me wrong. Right. But the way he uses the running backs, the way he uses a lot of times undersized receivers, not maybe necessarily the most physically imposing guys, it's about catching the ball and getting upfield and getting big yards.
Yeah, first I want to just mention Alvin Kamara has gained a lot of popularity in the league. But 6 months ago, there was a man by the name of Mike Spofford who was really praising this kid coming out of Tennessee.
I love the film. I love the film on this guy.
Was not an every down back, really, in Tennessee.
No.
And now you're seeing exactly what he can do in a committee. Second right now in receptions for the Saints. But to your point, and it's a great one that I think you made, the pieces have changed with Drew Brees over the years. Marcus Colston isn't there anymore. You even look on their offensive front. Jarry Evans isn't there anymore.
That's right.
They've really evolved, adapted, and honestly, when you're there that long, you have to make changes. It just goes with the territory. You know, they trade Brandon Cooks. Jimmy Graham has been gone for a couple years now after that trade for Max Unger. Now he's starting to get comfortable with these weapons. Michael Thomas, really dynamic young playmaking receiver for them. They go and sign Colby Fleener. They sign Ted Ginn Jr. So it's a different looking New Orleans Saints team, but you can just see over these last two games specifically, Drew Brees is really starting to develop that chemistry. And yeah, Michael Thomas is one of the bright young prospects in this league as well.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the statistics earlier, and when I look at the numbers, a statistic that really stands out to me is that through five games, the New Orleans Saints have only turned the ball over on offense three times.
Right.
Drew Brees has almost 200 passes. He's approaching 200 passes on the season. He's only thrown two interceptions so far. He's only been sacked four times. He's not exactly the most mobile or fleet-footed guy, but he doesn't take a lot of sacks. And they also offensively have only lost one fumble so far. I believe it was Ingram with a lost fumble somewhere along the way. So they don't hurt themselves, Wes. They don't turn the ball over. They don't give up a lot of sacks and negative plays. This is a tough offense to deal with.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, when you're exposing the football as much as they do, Breeze has already thrown the ball almost 200 times this year. You look last week with Ingram and Kamara, how much they ran the ball. That's a lot of offensive plays. So it really does put a lot of emphasis, a lot of stress sometimes on an offense to protect the football when you are using it that many times and going down the field that many times. That being said, Breeze is one of the best in the NFL, and I think when you look at his best seasons, it's been typically when he's had the most success in terms of keeping that interception number under 10 and being able to really keep this offense moving throughout the course of a year.
Yeah, well, we've got some things to talk about on the defensive side of the ball with New Orleans. We'll do that after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball for the New Orleans Saints. Hard to know exactly what to make of this defense. And what I mean by that is you look at the rankings. I believe it's 26th in yards allowed, 28th in passing yards allowed, 21st in points allowed, last in the league in third down defense. But then you look last week against the Detroit Lions, and this defense scores three touchdowns as the Saints put up 52 points overall. So what do you make of this unit?
Very opportunistic. That's probably the thing that stands out to me the most. I've actually really been impressed on paper with what they've built. I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, the rookie cornerback that they drafted 11th overall, I think you can make a case he was arguably the best prospect in this year's draft at that position. Even you know some of the other positions that they've taken, you know, Marcus Williams, now their second-round pick, is starting for them at safety. They sign A.J. Klein out of Kimberly as a free agent this year as a linebacker. And then they have the reigning defensive player of the week in Cameron Jordan now, and I think his sixth or seventh NFL season. So there is guys there, you know, to make plays. The problem for them earlier this season, and even to some extent with the amount of yards they gave up and production they gave up against the Lions, has been just getting off the field on third down. I think that's going to be one of the things, and when you look at this matchup for both the Packers defense and the Saints, who wins that battle and who also makes those big plays is going to have a big determining factor on who prevails in this. But last week, Saints definitely took care of their business there, and it led to a 52-point day.
Yeah, you mentioned Cameron Jordan. He's got five sacks through five games, leading the pass rush for the Saints. Other thing that jumps out at me, they have six different players so far this season that have an interception,
yeah,
which is a lot. And you right. mentioned them being opportunistic on defense. A lot of different guys who have had their hand in turnovers. Kenny Vaccaro leads the intercepting group there with two. I think the thing that stands out to me when you look at the history of the New Orleans Saints, and it doesn't matter if it's been Greg Williams at defensive coordinator or Rob Ryan or now Dennis Allen, the former Oakland Raiders head coach, they're aggressive.
Yeah.
They come after you. And certainly with the Green Bay Packers starting Brett Hundley at quarterback in his first NFL start on Sunday afternoon, I think they're going to be awfully aggressive. They're going to test Brett Hundley with everything they've got.
Yeah, Jari Evans even said this, the former Saint, after the game in Minnesota in the locker room. As soon as Aaron Rodgers left, the Vikings started working with a lot more stunts, a lot more games, trying to do things to throw the offensive line and Brett Hundley a little bit off kilter. I would imagine that is something that's going to be a big point of emphasis this week for Dennis Allen and his unit, trying to find ways to put pressure on the young quarterback. Sean Payton, addressing the media for the first time this week on Wednesday, could not have been more complimentary of Hundley's poise, his arm strength, and the Saints definitely are not taking this matchup lightly. That being said, it's not Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And you know, until Brett Hundley can prove, you know, that he's going to be able to you know, maintain his level of play and work through some of those challenges that I think every young quarterback faces that's unproven, they're going to test him. So the key for the Packers in this game, as you said, the Saints take chances. It's making sure that they can execute on those chances. If they have an opportunity for an explosive play, they need to make sure that they're able to utilize that. I'm really looking forward to this passing game for the Packers and seeing how they test him. Because as you mentioned, Vaccaro leads them right now in interceptions. He had a fumble recovery last week. But a few weeks ago, he was on, you know, they were talking about him getting benched.
Right.
So there are plays to be made, and the Saints have made them. But there's also been some inconsistency there as well. So I also look at it as a positive from Brett Hundley's perspective that now he's back at home and he's going to have an opportunity to go up against a defense that has had some issues this year. But, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think when you look at this matchup, and I mentioned this in our Insider Inbox column this week, job one for the Packers in this game offensively with Brett Hundley at quarterback is to protect the football.
Right.
Because if you start giving up defensive touchdowns the way the Detroit Lions did, you have no chance against this team because Drew Brees is going to do what he's going to do with the ball in his hands. So you cannot give this defense those opportunities. And I think protecting Brett Hundley goes hand in hand with protecting the football because of the hits that he might take. You know, sometimes the ball can come out or just throws under duress that can lead to tips or interceptions. It all goes hand in hand here. The Packers know what they have to do. And I agree with you, Wes. I think when the opportunity is there, because if a defense is taking a chance, football at the end of the day is a numbers game.
Right.
There's 11 guys on each side. If they're sending extra guys at the quarterback, there's more space for the receivers to make a play. You have to be able to make that play.
Yeah, and it comes down to finding that hot read, which is something, you know, Aaron Rodgers is probably better at than anybody else in the NFL. Hundley's had an opportunity to watch that film for the last 2.5 years and see if he can put his own little feel on it. The thing, and it's going to be interesting to watch and how this game plays out, is that the Packers, we're not sure what their offensive line is going to look like right now for them.
Right.
The one thing the Green Bay Packers know that they have are those receivers and those tight ends. So seeing the kind of game plan the Packers can dial up to utilize the top three guys, to utilize Martellus Bennett, Lance Kendricks, and Richard Rodgers, is going to be the biggest strength and the biggest thing that I think Brett Hundley has going for him going into this game.
Yeah, all right. With that, we're going to throw it to another break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkowitz again over there. And Wes, this is this game against the Saints coming up Sunday afternoon is the Packers versus cancer game. And for those wondering exactly what this is about, we've seen in the past over the last several years in October, it's been Breast Cancer Awareness Month. A lot of players, you know, wearing pink shoes, pink wristbands, you know, pink towels, that kind of thing. The Packers and other teams around the NFL have evolved this now into more of an overall cancer awareness of all kinds of cancers, not necessarily just focusing on breast cancer. So tell us what you know about this Packers versus Cancer initiative that'll be part of Sunday's game.
Yeah, the Packers partnered with Bell & Health and then also with the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation this year to put on this Packers versus Cancer initiative. And as you said, I mean, there's a lot of people. We've known the stories. I think everybody has been affected by cancer at some point in time, particularly breast cancer. And the co-chair of the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation is Mason Crosby. And if you know Crosby's story at all, it's been very, so he got involved with the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation going back to his rookie year back in 2007.
Okay.
But during his time, he got closer with that. And it just so happens over the last 5 years, his family has really been hit hard. His grandmother currently battling breast cancer. He has a great aunt that's currently battling breast cancer. He lost another grandmother to cancer. And also his sister-in-law, Brittany, who ended up having a battle at 27 years old with ovarian cancer, which, if you're familiar with that at all, that's incredibly rare for a woman that young to have that that battle and have that befall them. So he's been really involved with this, and now with this initiative, it's something that's very incredibly close to his heart. And it's a big campaign. I mean, there's a lot of different things the Packers are doing. For Crosby's perspective, it's something cool for him to be able to find a way to give back and also let people know, you know, whether it's something that is affecting your family currently or also keeping in mind preventative screening. Both of those things are incredibly important to that battle.
Yeah, no question about it. And an interesting thing about Crosby's story, too, is that last year in that Dallas playoff game, when he hits the two 50-plus-yard field goals in the last 2 minutes, including, obviously, the game winner, the walk-off winner to beat the Dallas Cowboys, we all found out later exactly what he had been going through, finding out about his sister-in-law, Brittany. And he was wearing something on his wrist, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a blue, even if you go back and look at the photos, he's wearing a blue wristband on his right hand. It said, "We Stand Together," was something that his family had put together for Brittany, his brother, Reese, her husband. They weren't actually able to be at that game. He had dozens of friends and family there, but she was going through a chemotherapy treatments at that time, wasn't able to make it, but was something that really helped propel him and motivate him as he made those two 50-yard field goals with under 2 minutes left in the game to get the Packers in the NFC Championship game. So very emotional thing for him. For the Packers' perspective, this whole month they've had different initiatives. One of them is the Vince Lombardi caps that you can find in the Packers Pro Shop. $5 from those will go directly to the Vince Lombardi Cancer Foundation. There's also a text-to-donate option that's going on through October 22nd. You can text Packers to 50555. And that will also be a $10 donation to the campaign. So a lot of things to not only raise funds, but awareness for a really good cause.
Yeah, no question about it. A good cause indeed. But before we go to another break, Wes, we'll take care of a little sponsor business. Attention, Packers fans. We're calling you to fill up with Campbell's Chunky Chicken Noodle Soup. We're talking delicious, hearty soup packaged in an exclusive Packers Superfan can. These cans are limited edition for all you football fanatics out there, so don't miss out. Go on, huddle up, and fill up with this hearty soup. Chunky Soup, the official soup partner of the Green Bay Packers. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, just to follow up quickly on the text to donate for cancer research, 50555, the Packers are matching up to $10,000 in donations that come through that text to donate program, correct?
Correct, yeah. So you also have that along with it, so a nice add-on to everything else that's happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we take a look at this this Packers-Saints game coming up Sunday, the history between these two teams, they don't play each other every year. It always ends up being like every few years. I think the thing that's maybe stood out the most over the last several meetings is that generally the home team has had the edge.
Yeah.
I remember Mike McCarthy's first year, 2006, which was my first year with Packers.com. The New Orleans Saints came into Lambeau Field early that season and beat the Packers in a very, very close game down to the wire. And but since then, every time the Packers and Saints have met, the home team has won. The Packers have lost a couple of primetime games down in the Superdome, and the Saints are on some ridiculous winning streak at home in prime time. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's like 18 or 19 in a row or something
Yeah, it stems like, I think it goes back to, is it like 8 or 9 years now? Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and the Packers have been victimized twice playing in prime time down in the Superdome. But then here at Lambeau Field, we all remember the kickoff game in 2011 when Randall Cobb ran a 108-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, and the Packers got a goal line stop right at the end. And then I believe it was also in 2012, I think the following year, the Saints came in and the Packers had to come from behind a little bit and ended up pulling out a big victory. So a lot of excitement when these two teams meet. Obviously, it's been Aaron Rodgers against Drew Brees, and it'll be Brett Hundley against Drew Brees this time. But I still think, even with Hundley quarterbacking instead of Rodgers, I still think there could be a lot of offensive fireworks in this one.
Oh, definitely. And I was obviously kind of referencing that a little bit with this matchup between Hundley and the Saints defense. The selfish part of me is it hurts that you're not going to get Brees versus Rodgers because you don't know how many more times you're going to get that game. You know, Brees now, I think, being 38 years old, still playing at an incredibly high level, but, you know, Father Time is still undefeated at some point. That being said, a lot of potential for the ball to be thrown in this game. You know what you're getting, as we said, from the onset with Drew Brees and this offense and the way that they can spread you out. And now even with what they can do with those running backs out of the backfield. From the Packers' perspective, Brett Hundley knows what it's like to play in the system. And if you go back and watch any of his film from previous preseason games, he's not afraid to sling it. He knows where the ball's supposed to be. He operates within the confines of the offense. And that's one of the reasons why Mike McCarthy is so at ease with him taking this thing over. Last week was the worst-case scenario. You and I both talked about it. U.S. Bank Stadium, that noise, that opponent, that defense is going to be tough for any young quarterback, any backup quarterback, to be able to beat and overcome.
Yeah.
Now you get to Green Bay, Wisconsin. You get back to Lambeau Field, the Packers' only home game in the month of October. This is really set up for Brett Hundley to find his comfort level and show that he can lead this offense going forward.
Yeah, and it's funny how things work out, because I think when the schedule first came out and we were looking at this game, it was like, oh, Adrian Peterson is going to be coming back as a New Orleans Saint. Well, that's not happening. He's now with the Arizona Cardinals and had a tremendous debut last week with Arizona. We thought we'd see John Kuhn coming back to Lambeau Field in another uniform, and that's not happening because, unfortunately, Kuhn has gotten injured and is on injured reserve and excuse me, is out for the season. You brought up Jari Evans earlier. This is a guy who played, was it 11 years?
11 years.
For the New Orleans Saints, and now he's going to be going against his former team. I would imagine it's just going to be a weird feeling in a lot of ways for him, although the game's not in New Orleans, it's here, so that takes away maybe a little bit of the strangeness of it. But this is a guy who built up a lot of pedigree in New Orleans and you know, very well liked by Drew Brees and all of his teammates down there, but he even said now it's about beating the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, he said that. He's like, you know, and he said this in the most professional manner possible. The Saints went in a different direction, and he moved on as well. I mean, he's a Green Bay Packer now. His focus is set on beating that team. But, I mean, it's incredible. 109, you know, starts that he made for the Saints, 11 seasons, was just a symbol for durability in this league, and 6 Pro Bowls. He won a Super Bowl with them. Just so much talent there, and the ability for him to come in was not a heralded prospect. Bloomberg, I think PA, right? He came out of Division II, left tackle, and he ends up becoming one of the best guards in the modern era and was a perfect fit with Drew Brees. That being said, he's with the Packers now. He's been, you know, one of the most durable players on this roster. And I think for him, there is a certain amount of motivation going up against his former team. A team, mind you, that did let him move on a year ago. He goes to Seattle and finds his way back. Well, now he's a Green Bay Packer, and we'll see what he can do.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for all the injuries the Packers have dealt with on the offensive line. The old guy in the bunch is the one who's been out there every single snap.
Absolutely.
So far. But with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.